Lord, we thank you for your presence, God. We thank you, God, for the honor of being in your presence, Lord. That you are always with us, that you never forsake us, God. Lord, I thank you that you are always calling us deeper. You are always calling us, God, into a place of encounter. You allow things to happen in our life. Sometimes you even cause them. And sometimes they don't always make sense. But there's always something in what's before us. There's always something of the kingdom to be embraced. It depends on how we look at it. It depends on how we process it. And God, I just want to pray this morning specifically, God, for Shirley's sister and her husband, Deanie and Joe. They were in a car accident. And God, I just pray that you minister to his body, God, and her body, Lord. And God, I pray and we agree together for complete recovery for them, Lord God. I pray for David, Peggy's son-in-law. It's Peggy and Larry's son-in-law. I just pray, God, that you'd minister healing to his body, Lord. God, I pray that you would be with Amy and the boys, God, and just give her strength, God, and whatever's going on there. God, I just thank you for touching David's body. God, we pray for our Mexico team. God, we just thank you for the opportunity to go out and do what we've heard. We thank you, God, for those that are here that are praying for them. And God, we thank you, God, for the encounters. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you, God, for the seeds of your word that have been sown not only in their hearts, but the hearts of those they've touched. And I pray, God, that you bring increase over those seeds in the name of Jesus. And right now, I want to do something a little bit different. On this side, if you guys could gather around Shirley, and on this side for Tim. Is anybody else in the house in chronic pain right now? Okay. Just take a couple of minutes and gather around these guys, because I want to set our hearts together for God to open the heavens for healing. We have it in our hearts here, and we've had it in our hearts, and we've seen healing. So as you gather around these guys, somebody just pray. I know I'm kind of putting some of you on the spot, but and I'll just pray along with you. But somebody pray. Pray in the Spirit over them if you do that. But God, in the name of Jesus, go ahead, touch them. Don't be afraid. Come on. The left side's a little slow. The right side's got it going on over here. God, we just thank you, God, that you are a God that heals. And we include Cheryl in this too. Cheryl Merzacco. God, we thank you, God, that you are a God that heals. And God, we position ourselves this morning to receive what your word says, God, because your word says that you heal all of our diseases. Your word says, God, that you shed your blood, that we would be covered by it, that we would be healed by your broken body, that ours would be healed in the name of Jesus. So God, right now I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would just touch their bodies. For Shirley, and for Tim, and for Cheryl, in the name of Jesus, and for Gordon, just complete recovery in their bodies right now, in Jesus' name. All pain, all inflammation, all swelling must go in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you fill their bodies with the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. We just thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you, God, that your presence is here to perform this healing, God. God, we thank you, God. Thank you for an obedient house. Thank you, Lord. And we just invite you in for the remainder of the service to stay and to move powerfully. God, thank you for working powerfully. There's stuff that is unspoken to minister to families and situations. God, we thank you, Lord. you, God. We thank you for your presence and your faithfulness to us. And in the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Look at the person next to you and say, it's a great day to be alive.
It's a great day to be alive.
Okay. Now act like you mean it.
It's a great day to be alive.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just need to be stirred up a little bit. We need to, even if it's not in here, we got to confess it. Amen. It says we have to confess with our mouth and believe with our heart in order to be saved. So there's something in the speaking. There's something in the speaking, even when we haven't received yet. When we confess it and when we speak it, we set ourselves up to receive it. Amen? We need to confess it. We need to be a people that confesses the Word of God, that we proclaim the Word of God. Amen? I'm sure you've never heard me say this before, but you got to find your voice. Say, I got to find my voice. Say it again. I got to find my voice. Too long has the enemy oppressed and stolen our dominion. Amen. It's time to be a people of dominion. It's time to take your place in the earth. It's time to do what you're called to do. It's time to receive what you've been called for. And I love the passage that God laid on my heart. I don't know how He does this. But when He gives me something in my heart, whether it's to speak on or He just highlights something, it's happening as I'm saying it. That's why it's important to confess what we hear. We say what we hear so we can see what we say. It's important to confess. For some reason, I'm on that right now. It wasn't in my mind. But it's important that we confess the Word of God. And we confess what we hear from Him. I'm going to be reading in Matthew 13, 18 through 13, the parable of the sower. It's probably something that many of you have read many times. But God just brought some really neat things to my mind. And it brings clarity and explanation to my life. And when you read the Word of God, and He just kind of picks something. And actually, He confirmed that I went to a conference in Ebensburg. And it was written on the chalkboard in the kids, must have been the kids area. And Matthew 13 with a big plant coming out of a pot. I'm like, well, I guess that's what you want me to talk about. He just has a way, if you respond to those subtle promptings of God, then He adds to it and He confirms it. And when you talk to Him about it and you say, God, did you say that? Did you say Matthew 13? And it, yep, I just put it on a chalkboard for you. See that? And He even highlighted my neighbor's plants are all dead, but mine aren't. That I must have been doing something right, planting my seeds for my flowers. Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I prophesy to the soil of our hearts. God, I know, Father God, that this concept is on your heart for your people. Not just in this house, but the people of God and the whole entire world. It is your desire, God, that your word goes deep into our hearts and doesn't get stolen away by the cares of the world or things that happen to us. But your desire is, God, that it goes so deep that we are a people that stand no matter what in the faithfulness of who you are and your word. And God, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost, God, that you make that real today. I pray, God, that you pull every person in this house into an experience, into an encounter with you. Unlock the wellsprings of revelation and desire within us, God. I prophesy to the soil of our hearts to receive the seed of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Mark's account of this parable, he says, if you do not understand this parable, you won't understand any other. And when there's something like that written in the Word of God, we need to pay attention to that. Because there's something really important about that one that all the rest of them will be built upon. And how important that is. As we know, parables illustrate spiritual truths. But when we haven't yet learned to hear and to see in a spiritual dominion or arena, Jesus would speak in things that we could actually see and were tangible. He would talk about stuff that most of them have seen with their eyes, or they can relate to what it is. And they can see it and they can come to a conclusion about things that they see with their natural eye. But God wants us to be a people that sees with our spiritual eyes. And when we haven't been trained and our five senses haven't been exercised, the Lord needs to speak in a way that can open our understanding to spiritual things. And this is so important. It's so important that we are able to grasp and see in that capacity. Because what the natural manifest is a condition of the spiritual. For instance, if you take a look at our nation right now, there's a condition manifesting in our nation. Can you agree? And it denotes a spiritual condition. And God wants us to see how we are called to bring God's spiritual desire on the earth so that the natural condition represents a kingdom spiritual condition. Does that make sense? No. Somebody say something. That's when we believe by faith for someone to be healed, for instance. We are pulling a supernatural condition into what is seen. The spiritual is unseen. The natural is seen. When I pray for Paul to be healed, we have a natural condition that there's something wrong with him physically. But my spiritual mind believes that he is healed. So I pull something that's not seen into the natural. Spiritual healing is unseen. Natural manifestation, Paul is sick. I pull something that is unseen into the natural realm that is seen by faith. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Praise Jesus. Because I know sometimes I don't explain things too well. The key thing to this parable is the word understand. And it says, When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. The wicked one, obviously, is the devil. And he comes and he steals away the seed of the word, the seed of what you heard. Because the concept of receiving the seed is like putting a seed in the ground into the soil. Nobody plants a seed and doesn't cover it with soil. If you plant a seed and you don't put dirt around it and you don't take care of it and you don't water it, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. It's not going to grow. Or as it says in this parable, that the birds of the air will come and snatch it away. Understanding is then illustrated when the soil of our hearts is able to receive the word that you heard, and it's planted down deep in the soil of our hearts, and it is out of plain sight. It's covered. It's protected. Does that make sense? The word understand actually means an understanding that is gained through the five senses. When I found that out, that brought a lot of things to light for me. When anyone hears the word and does not understand it. So understanding is a condition that is gained through the five senses. It's an experience. When the seed is not brought into a practical experience, and it's kept as a concept. I know that many of us can quote a lot of things in the Word of God. Many of us know we're supposed to forgive. We know we're supposed to tithe. We know we're supposed to love one another. Does that manifest in all of us all the time? I'm not talking about where we fail, in as much as when we absolutely refuse to do what's right. That's when it becomes a concept. When we know what we're supposed to do, it becomes a concept. We know in our hearts that we're supposed to do it, but yet we don't do it. But when it becomes deep and planted in our heart, it is something that comes out of us. It's an experience. It's practical. When we know we're supposed to forgive, we'll just use that for a moment. And then I go and do it. Now I'm protecting that seed of the word that I heard, that I'm supposed to forgive. If I choose not to forgive, then that seed of that word, that revelation of forgive, is pushed up to the top of my heart, where it can be stolen away by the devil. And that's where he can gain authority in your life, because he steals the truth out of your heart. Notice that he doesn't say that the seed is removed from your mind. It's removed from your heart. We can get a great revelation on forgiving and what forgiveness is. But if we don't put that into common practice, if we don't go and do it, then the seed can be stolen by the enemy. It doesn't become who we are. Does that make sense? It requires action. It requires something that we have to do. Because here's what God wants to do. He wants to prove to you that His Word stands no matter what. No matter what. No matter how ridiculous it sounds when He asks you to do something, or no matter how difficult it is when He wants you to do something, you need to follow through. You need to do it. You need to take action. When the seed is not brought into a practical experience and is kept as a concept, it is susceptible to theft. The Lord wants to open our spiritual eyes through encounter. The Word says that we're supposed to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I know that we have a lot of opportunity, and this is important. Our team in Mexico, It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to exercise what we've heard. That's why it's called experiential missions. We have prayer. We have outreach. You can learn a lot by just being in the presence of other people that pray. You can learn a lot by what other people have walked through and what other people have to offer just by being in their presence, just by being part of it. God wants to transform our hearts from an inward to an outward, to go outward into the community. But it begins with the seed of the kingdom being planted in our heart and taking root. And it requires action on our part. It's called positioning ourselves to receive. The next part of this passage that God spoke to me about was process. 20 through 22. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I want you to underline because of the word. It's in verse 21. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. You turn in your Bibles to Psalm 105:17. Psalm 105:17. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. Until the time that his word came to pass. Underline that in your Bible. The word of the Lord tested him. This was one of the things that just came alive to me. And I hope that this brings clarity to some of the stuff that you all are facing. I know some of the stuff that you guys are facing. But because of the word in Matthew 13. But here it says, because of the word, the Lord tested him. When God put a word in Joseph's heart that his brothers and his dad would bow down to him, the very fact that the word that he heard was placed in his heart caused the total opposite to happen to him. It says that they hurt his feet with fetters and he was laid in irons. The actual translation is his soul came into iron. See, here's the thing. When God plants a seed, when the word of God goes out and you receive it in your heart, there are things that are going to happen in your life so that that seed can't be stolen. And there are actions that we have to take in order to protect it so that God can bring the exponential growth in our hearts. The word says that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Amen. Say, God gives the increase. Only God gives the increase. It reminds me of the message that my husband gave on the seventh hand. That David took six steps, but it was God's supernatural power that brings completion. It's God's supernatural power that brings our calling and our purpose into fruition. If you are accomplishing the call of God on your life without Him, it's not quite in alignment with what He has you doing. There's more. Can you say amen? There is more. There's always a spiritual component. And to set our hearts to receive the seed and nurture it and allow God to expand and to bring that call into a supernatural place. It requires our hearts being intentional and putting to practice what we hear, even to the point where our soul came into iron. Have you ever had something that God asked you to do and it just about killed you? Am I the only one? Come on. Am I the only one? I remember being over here, and I may have said this before. I was in a prayer meeting over here with probably 30 ladies. And they were going around the room praying out loud. Can I tell you? I thought I was going to die. Like, God, I I'm not doing that. I'm like, please, God, let this cup pass from me. Because I can't do this. And I make a decision to not allow that seed to go deep. Because obviously God wants me to do something, and I don't want to do it. Can anybody relate?
Yeah.
Good. I'm not alone. And my soul, and you're thinking, are you serious? Praying out loud? Yes, I'm serious. And my soul came into iron. Because my soul was like, absolutely not. No. And the Spirit of God is saying, come on, can you do this? I know you can do this because I've asked you to do this. Because I have great things for you to pray about 15 years from now. 15, 20 years from now. 30 years from now. I have stuff that I'm going to have you doing. And you really need to get this. You really need to trust me. When God called Moses, what did he say? I can't speak. And it says that God got really mad. Did you read that? It said God got really mad because Moses didn't want to do it. And God wasn't interested in what Moses could do. He was interested in his yes. He was interested in agreement so that God could bring a whole lot of cool stuff into Moses' life. But see, he didn't say, if you just do this, then all these plagues are going to come. I'm just going to snap my fingers and all this stuff is going to come. And then you're going to take Israel out into the wilderness. And then I'm going to feed them supernaturally with bread from heaven. And then I'm going to bring water from the rock. And then I'm going to split the sea. It's going to be so cool. No, he didn't say that. He didn't tell him all this amazing stuff that he had for him. I say that to encourage you that God has some really amazing stuff for all of you to do. It's not performance. It's agreement. It's agreement that if you just say yes to this thing, can think of where God has you right now. What thing does God have that He wants you to just take a step out in faith and do? Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's believing for Him to move powerfully in your family in a thing that you can't control. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Or can you think of something in your life right now that God wants you to move forward in? Because God wants you to know that He wants to empower that. Because down the road, He's got some amazing things for you. It's not to condemn you. There is no timeline in God's life. Can I tell you, once we decide to move forward with something that He's asking us to do, I don't know how He does this either, but He causes all of that lost time that we think we have. Well, I've wasted my time. I have wasted, X amount of years of my life. Stop thinking that. Because God is able to restore all of that time right to the now. He's able to restore everything you've lost. He says, I restore the years that the locust has eaten. He restores everything that is lost. There is no place for regret. When we believe that everything that happens to us is good, because God's in charge. That's a godly belief that we need to establish that puts us in a whole different perspective. Does that make sense? everything that happens to me is good because God's in charge. And the Word says that all things work together for good for those who love God. Do you believe it? That seed's got to be planted deep in your heart. And when we come into tribulation and trials, are you going to allow the seed of the truth of God's Word to be planted deep and be protected? So that when greater storms come later, that you're able to say, nope, I'm going to raise my rod and the sea's going to part. Because I've already been there once. And I watched God do this before. When you have a season in your life that repeats, God's trying to establish a strength in you to overcome that. When things repeat, look back and say, how did I handle this the last time? Did I posture in truth? Regardless of what I saw. That's the most difficult thing when God is taking us to a place and we can't always see where it is. It said that God was taking Abraham to a land that he didn't know. He didn't know where he was going. But look what God did through Abraham. He cut a covenant through Abraham. He said that he would multiply like the sands of the seashore, his people. But Abraham had to believe. I have in my notes the very thing that God sent to empower him, meaning Joseph, also had him bound. Now that doesn't make much sense, does it? But when we set our hearts, when God prompts us that he wants us to embrace something, since I'm on forgiveness, let's just stay there. And let's say that we have a hard time with that. God wants to empower you to overcome. But if we can't forgive, does it not feel like your soul is bound? When God has asked us to do something, maybe it's pray out loud. I can't tell you how my soul was in anguish. And there's even an account where Christ's soul was in anguish, that he was sweating drops of blood. There was no different a conflict and a wrestling in Jesus' heart than there is in our heart. We have to understand that this is what the gospel will cost you. The very speaking of the word of God is going to cost you something for it to be planted deep in your heart. Some things are easy, but some things aren't. And it requires us to step out. I said this before, I think, nobody knows how long you take. That's why we're called a body of believers, because we have others around us to encourage us until we're ready to take that step. Until we're ready to move. Instead of being criticized, we have a body of believers around us to love us and to help us go into our calling. Amen. We support one another. All of you have been here through trial and tribulation and blessing and everything that we have seen. You guys have been here. I'm telling you, there's been something that has been established in all of your hearts because of it. Just receive that. There is something established in all of your hearts that the next time the wind blows, you're not going to fall down. It's been established in your heart. And how many of you know it's hard? It's hard. It's hard to believe that God's going to heal your back when you can't hardly move and you're waiting for your surgery. The very thing that God sent to empower him also had him bound. It's for character development and preparation for promotion. How many of you want promotion in the Spirit? I know I do, but it costs you something. It's very painful when God asks us for something to give up, because you know what? Because there's another seed that has taken root. And God wants to pull that out by the roots. And he wants to plant his truth in us. But we've protected oftentimes that seed that has kept us bound, and we've watered that thing. No, God, I'm not going to give that up. There is something going on in your soul. When I read that, my soul came into iron. Joseph's soul came into iron. When you find purpose in your trial, this is really not a message about trial, but it's turning into one. When you find purpose in it, is it not easier to bear? When you find out the why, isn't it easier to posture for increase when you know why it's going on? But does God always tell us why? He's looking for us to become a people of strength. Look at verse 24. 105:24. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart, meaning the enemy's heart, to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. That's the word of God, folks. He turned their heart. He turned the heart of the enemy to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. You know why? To make them stronger than the enemy. See, God can defeat the enemy just like that. No problem. He is so much greater. His power is so much higher. But He desires us, a people who choose to worship Him in spirit and in truth. A people who love Him. And He desires to use you guys, you and me, to defeat the enemy. Amen? And He causes people to not like us. How about that? It's in the Word. I was just, whoa. When I read that, I thought, man, I don't know if I like that, but that's so good. It gives purpose to things that happen to you that you can't explain. Just because of the very presence of the Word itself that is in you causes stuff to happen to you. Does that make sense? It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. You're thinking, Lord, really? But it's so good. Because He knows that when we find out who we are, then we become the people that He died for. Amen? He gave us dominion. He gave us power. God wants to break our rock-like hearts. He wants the seed to go deep. When the soil of your heart is hard, the root can't go down. It can't get water or nutrients. It says in verse 28, Psalm 105:28, He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against His word. I absolutely love that. We go through difficulties in our life. And in depending on how we posture ourselves and how we allow the truth of God's word to come in will make all the difference, because God wants to prove that His word will stand no matter what. And He wants to make us a people that will not rebel against His word, because He has amazing things for us to do and an amazing love to pour out on us. I just thought that was so good. And I wrote, I don't think God tests us because He wants to be sure how we will respond. But rather, He wants us to be sure how we'll respond. God wants to make us a people so sure of who He is. He wants us to be sure that we'll respond to what His Word says. Amen? The last part of this verse, this passage says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 60, some 30, some 100 fold. When we look at everything that we face from the perspective that there's a kingdom seed in every problem, it changes how we live our life. The Bible says, rejoice. I say to you, rejoice always. I never stand up here in perfection of having mastered what I'm talking about. That's what's humbling, and that's a good thing. Because when God has me talk about it, it's happening to me. And the very thing that I'm saying is actually taking place before your eyes. But many of you may not know what that is. But as I learn it and he shows me, and then I do it, he establishes his word in me. Because I believed him. And he establishes his righteousness in me. When we look at every problem that there's a kingdom seed in it, it changes the outcome. Amen? There were two seasons in my life that were very long. Too long. But apparently that's how long it takes and took to establish. And both times, I had to believe that God would resurrect something that looked like it would fail or it would die. It's not an unrealistic test. Because that's what happened to Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise, and then God wanted him to kill it. The promise was coming through Isaac, and God wanted him to sacrifice him on the mountain. Remember? There's just a supernatural component that God's ways are not our ways, and the way he thinks is not how we think. The way he thinks is not how we think. He actually believes that if we become small, then there's increase. If we become humble, he exalts that. That we have to die in order to live. In order to multiply food, we got to start with this much. And then he takes it somewhere that we can't. That's just the way he thinks. And when everything in our life that we face, when we take out of this realm of impossibility, and when our soul is in fetters, when our soul is in anguish of what we're facing or what we have to do, and we take those things and we lift them up into the supernatural arena, God is able to take that to a new place. He's able to bring something that you never would have thought. And the reason is he wants you to trust him. He wants you to do it no matter how impossible it looks. Every time I faced something that I absolutely couldn't do, couldn't change, and couldn't bring God's plan into fruition, and my soul was bound, that's when you get pushed to the floor. That's what dying to self is called. That's what giving up control looks like. God was faithful every single time. Every single time. He didn't answer always the way I thought, but he answered. Even when I thought, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. And I'll share it again. When Dad had cancer, I won't even think to pray that to encase it in calcium so that it couldn't spread. But God knew. God almost knocked my mom to the floor when he told her, I told you not to worry about that cancer. And shy of admitting it was a miracle, the oncologist at Geisinger pretty much said it was. It was a very aggressive form of cancer, and it should have taken his life very quickly. But we prayed and believed that's not what God told us. And it was encased in calcium, and it didn't spread. It's not exactly what I would have thought, but hey, it works. That's why it's so important to allow the truth of the word to take root, to confess it, to take action, to posture, and allow the process to get you where God wants you to be. And in the last part, it's about producing. Performance doesn't produce. It's believing God. It's believing God for the exponential power. But we have to put forth our effort, but it is definitely not performance. It is a faith to believe. And can I tell you, that passes on a legacy down the line. You don't know what you're pressing in for. And I'm not going to get into generational stuff today, but you don't know. You don't know what you're fighting against. And if we don't have God wants to establish a foundation in us that He can reveal those deep things. He said to His disciples, "I have much to tell you, but you cannot bear it now." Because the maturity needed to be established in their life in order for them to carry out what God wanted to pour out on their life. It's so important. I believe that's why Jesus said that this is the most important parable. And if you don't understand this, none of the other ones will make sense. Because everything builds on this concept of allowing the kingdom to be established in us. And I'll tell you what, that's happening here. I see that happening in all of you. I see that the questions that you ask and the stuff that you tell me and what's going on in your families and how God is saying, He wants me to learn about this. And you're doing it. You're going after it with everything you have to understand it. So it becomes an experience and an encounter. That's why we you know, it's not so that you can respond to my husband at the end of the service. It's to respond to the Word. It's to respond to the Holy Ghost. It's to take the seed that you just got and take an action step, a prophetic action, and move toward that and say, "God, I want that. I want to put that deep in my heart. And I want you to give an increase on what I just heard." The only work that you can do is to believe. The Word says that. That eliminates performance, it eliminates your perfection, and it gives it all to God. He's just asking for our obedience. He's asking for our action on what we hear. That's where the fruit comes. So what does it mean to understand, to gain understanding through the five senses, to encounter, to perceive is what it means. It's a primary root of union. So when you hear the Word, you position yourself to encounter. You actually go out and do it, and it becomes real. When I started to believe that God actually healed people, I didn't just stay at home and believe it. I went out and I prayed for every sick person that I could. Actually, I could not pray for them. It was terrible. Everywhere I would go, I'd have to pray for somebody. And it was just such an unction that I didn't want to do it. I have to be honest with you. I wanted to see it, but I didn't want to do it. Self-preservation. What am I going to look like? What if he don't? I don't want to look stupid. Really? It's not about me. And when God removes that you and gets you out of the way, and how stupid you look trying, and how you feel, because really you don't look stupid. That's what you think. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Those are not godly seeds. So to gain understanding through the five senses, to position ourselves for encounter, respond to His prompting, exercise faith to believe God that He'll increase it, and to give Him your time, your silence, and your stillness. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You can stand to your feet. three things in this passage that stuck out was position, process, and produce. Nobody ever asked us to do it perfect. God just wants us to do it. No matter what you lack, no matter what you think you can't do, God wants you to know that He's able to bring all of that into its proper place if we just respond to His Word. The Lord dropped in my heart that He wanted me to call for trust. And I thought, Lord, I don't know, does that really go with what I'd be talking about? And I said, it don't matter. It don't matter, because when God says it and you do it, He's responsible for the increase. God wants you to know that you can trust Him. You can trust Him with your finances. You can trust Him with His Word. You can trust Him with the call on your life. You can trust Him with the condition or things that are happening that you can't change. You can trust Him. So I'm just simply going to be obedient. If there's an area of your life where you need to trust, and you want the seed of the Word to be planted in your heart, God is desiring us to respond to that. He wants us to be a people that know that He's faithful. No matter what. No matter what we can't overcome. No matter what's happened to us in our past. The pain that we carry, sickness that we carry. And we've asked for these things to be taken, and they're not sometimes. But just to trust Him in every area of our life. Every area. A complete surrender. Because God will keep coming, and He'll keep coming. But if we keep allowing that seed to fall on our rock-hard hearts, it becomes by the wayside, and the enemy steals away the very thing God wants to put in you. Maybe it's a fear of losing our job. My cousin stood up for truth and he lost his job. It's imperative that we learn to be a people of sacrifice, an obedient people that will pay whatever price it costs us to stand for truth. The generations after us depend on it, especially now. Personally, I think that what's happening now in the nation, that God is allowing our enemies to rise up, so that the people of God understand that God is faithful. He's allowing our soul to come into iron, so that a people that choose to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and people that love Him by choice, will rise up and defeat the enemy through His power. That's what He desires. That's what we were born for. We were born to reign. We were fashioned to reign. From the beginning. That's good news to me. That is really good news to me. So all I'm going to ask for, and it's really not, it's your choice to move forward. It's your choice to respond. You know where God has you, and you know exactly where you've said no. So God, I thank You, Lord, for your word, and I thank you, God, that you have provided an opportunity for us to respond. That you've provided an opportunity to take the seed of the word and allow it to be planted deep in our heart. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but you give the increase, God. So I pray, God, that whoever dares to move forward and to just commune with you, you don't have to say anything except to the Lord, to receive what he wants to put deep inside of you. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's going to do it. But it will cost you something. It will cost you something, but it is so worth it. So God, I just bless your word. And I thank you, God, for planting it in our hearts, God. And again, I prophesy to the soil of our hearts, God, that you would cultivate desire in us to pursue it with everything that we have. To take the 6 steps so that the 7th hand of God can come and empower what you want to put inside of us that cannot be shaken, that cannot be removed. And God, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing house. In the name of Jesus, amen.